This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2. The week's best bits. Laura and Duncan's Hope Breakfast Podcast.
Breakfast is ready.
Can't touch this.
About the fashion trends that you would love to see come back.
Yeah.
Because you heard the rumour that bum bags were coming back a while ago. The conversation started, but now it's official because it's been seen. They've been seen on both men and women at Melbourne fashion shows in the last couple of days. 1-300-40-2020. Good morning, Vanessa.
Hi.
What is it that you would like to see be brought back?
I'd like to see the bubble skirt.
Ooh, and are you going to rock that with some neon bangles?
Yes, most definitely. Hoop earrings and leg warmers.
Gosh. Oh. So do you have fond memories of wearing the bubble skirt?
Oh, yes. We had the perfect outfit that I wore anywhere we went out.
Vanessa, you got any kids in the car right now?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I think it's time to embarrass them with a little Cyndi Lauper, don't you think? Like, I see your true colours shining through.
Yeah, thank you for your call, Vanessa. 1-300-40-2020. Reminiscent of the 90s.
Crisscross. We used to play basketball to this song. This was our intro jam.
Oh, wow.
Come on, the Mac Daddy make you jump. Sorry, okay.
Good morning, Adam. What is it that you would like to see make a return?
I want to bring back the puffy pins that you could write on your, like, jeans and that, and they would go through the wash and come out and they'd still be there.
Oh, there was the, I want to say Poskers, but they're not Poskers, are they?
I can't remember the name, I'm sorry, but it was like this thing where it was a different coloured pins, I don't know, reds, blues, whites and all that, whatever, you know, and just write on the clothes, whatever you want to write on there, and it had a bit of, it was like, it stayed a bit out from the fabric, like puffy sort of, like a cloud.
Yes.
0448-40-2020. If you can help us out here, please text us.
My mum must know this because I'm pretty sure that my sister and I, we used to use these in like arts and crafts and all of that kind of stuff with our clothing. And Adam, do you remember, I also remember that there used to be pens for writing with, but they would change colour when you held them. Like they were heat affected pens. Did you have those?
I didn't have those, but I used to write on my... This is really weird. on one particular pair of pants, I wrote with bleach so you could see the writing on it.
Come on. Okay, Adam, what did you write on those pair of pants?
I can't remember. Probably just random phrases or some funny line from a movie or something. I don't know.
I bet you it was Adam was here with the Z. Always with the Z. And you never had the E on the end of here. Just to make it that
was,
much.
Yeah.
Adam was her.
Did you ever do that tag that was like the S and you draw like nine lines?
The Superman S?
No, it wasn't like a Superman S. It was like it was just like you draw nine lines and then you turn it into an S.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It looks like the Superman S. I'll show you. I'll draw it for you and Hopeland. We'll put it up on the Facebook page.
Yeah.
You will have done this as well. Thank you to Jess who texted. Apparently it's called the Stussy S.
It is.
And Adam, because we're talking about things that you wanted to see brought back because bum bags are coming back, okay?
Yeah, the pen that makes the puffy stuff on clothing.
Jess also knows that that is called puff paint. Jess
is like a doctorate in 90s awesome clothing gear.
What a winner you are.
Thank you.
World First Aid Day. It's happening on Saturday, September 9. The Australian Red Cross, along with Dr. Andrew Rochford, who is one of their ambassadors, they want to encourage more Australians to learn first aid.
Only 5% of Australians are trained in first aid and up to date with their training. And unfortunately, where that puts us in all of the world and developed countries means we're lagging behind. And I think a lot of people feel like they know a bit of first aid and they could potentially do something based on maybe what they've seen on TV, on ER reruns or whatever it is. But the difference between that and actually being in a situation where you need to draw on your first aid knowledge is very different. And that's why being an emergency doctor, our training is so important, and for people at home, you don't want to be sort of second-guessing yourself if you do find that you need to know first aid, because at that point it needs to be automatic, and that's why doing a course and keeping up to date and being trained is so important, because it's not a cliche to say that it actually saves lives.
Yeah, so what kind of things do they cover in a course? Because I imagine, as you say, like this goes beyond your basic, you know, Band-Aid application and some Betadine.
Yeah, well, the big thing is the difference between somebody who receives CPR in the first minute, so cardiopulmonary resuscitation, and that's where you are actually pumping blood, oxygenated blood, around that person's body and to their brain and to all their vital organs. They've got an 80% chance of surviving if that happens in the first minute, And that goes down to a 5% chance of that them surviving if it happens after 10 minutes.
Wow.
So what you learn is the ability to know where to do the CPR, how to do, what's the latest way to do it. Because obviously in science and in medicine, we're constantly learning better ways to do everything, including first aid, plus the ways to stabilize a fracture, what you should do with somebody if they fall down and they hit their head, a whole bunch of common injuries, not just somebody having a seizure or somebody having a heart attack, but all those common things that happen at home, injuries, whether it's grandma or mum or dad or whoever it is that falls down, or whether it's the kids that fall out of a tree. So many different situations. The most common place for those types of injuries, especially for kids, is at home. And that's why doing the course, when you're freaking out, because we all do it, when the kids hurt themselves or hit their head or do anything, we freak out. And at that point, you want to be able to rely on a refresher course or having done a course so that you know what you're doing.
Yeah. So are there any big no-nos when it comes to helping someone out? Like if you're the first person to respond, God forbid you witness a car accident or something more severe like that, or even just those simple household injuries, are there any no-nos about what to do in that first instance?
The first instance is you've got to look for danger. So it's it's the Dr. ABC, which is a really simple thing. And that everybody knows kind of the ABC, which is airway, breathing, circulation. But the D at the beginning of that is danger. And the biggest no-no is in any of those scenarios is not looking out for yourself because you're so caught up in trying to look out for somebody else and helping them. Now, whether that's an injury at home, and obviously the big issues are if somebody's collapsed or if they've fallen over, you don't necessarily know why the reason that is, whether it's they've been electrocuted, whether there's some reason for that to have occurred, or in a car accident, or when there's a work site injury. All those situations put you in danger as well as the first responder or being in that situation to offer first aid. So if I had to put it at the top of the list, the biggest no-no is not checking to make sure it's okay for you to apply first aid before you go and do it, because you're no good to anyone else if you end up in exactly the same situation.
Hope Breakfast with Laura and Duncan
on Hope 103.2.
If you work in an ad agency, you know that you've got to have good ideas and you've got to pitch ways to market a product.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's not always the best idea, as this Melbourne ad agency have realised.
It backfires, doesn't it?
A little bit.
Yeah.
They've been in charge of promoting Jennifer Lawrence's latest flick. So instead of doing the typical movie poster and slapping that up somewhere, what they did in Newtown was do a mural of Jennifer Lawrence, the film's title.
It's a great idea.
They've painted it. It looks great, but they painted over a very iconic mural in Newtown. To be able to do it, they essentially erased the mural. And so they're finishing the promotion period for the film, but then they've negotiated with the original artist of that previous mural to fix it, redo it.
Of all the suburbs to do it in. You know, the angriest person in the world is an angry hipster, and that's where they breed, in Newtown.
Yeah, the heartland of art right there. But 1-300-40-2020, what have you accidentally erased? Because I hearken back to when I was a little girl, back in the days of VHS, and I was learning how to play with the buttons, and I accidentally erased a bit of Robin Hood. Sounded like this.
It was good to see you again, Marion.
It was good to be seen.
Gosh, good scene. I have two favours to ask of you.
What a start. In-swinging Yorker.
To say their most loving words.
I don't know, that feels right. Like Robin Hood was about to pitch an in-swinging Yorker and caught her right off guard because he's in love.
1-300-40-2020. Good morning, Blake. What was it that you accidentally erased?
Hi, guys. Love the show. When I was watching Power Rangers as a kid, I decided to record it. But I recorded it over my parents' wedding.
Oh, no.
How did they discover what you'd done?
They went to watch it again on their anniversary.
Oh, did they have backup copies of it? What happened?
No, there was no backup copies or anything.
Blake, were you, like, banned from using VHS ever again?
Yeah, I was. I wasn't allowed to touch the machine again.
Hope Breakfast
with Laura and Duncan. New release Thursday.
Yeah, it's time to talk new releases with our film reviewer, Russ Matthews. This morning he's talking about the new Netflix show. It's called Atypical.
I'm a weirdo. That's what everyone says. Sometimes I don't know what people mean when they say things.
Sam, people on the spectrum date, you know.
Girls don't really notice me at all, and I'm not great at picking up signals.
She's smiling right at you.
You need to turn that down, like, 70%.
Casey, why does my to-do list say remove stick from butt?
I don't know. But if it's on there, you gotta do it, right?
I can't find my work pants.
Morning, Russ.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Very well.
Yeah, doing well, man.
What is the story behind this TV show?
Okay, well, it's this dramedy, if you want to call it. It's supposed to be a comedy about a teenager who's on the autism spectrum, who is turned 18 and all of a sudden decides through different counsel and things that he needs to kind of have a bit of romance in his life. He's looking for a girlfriend. And so it's kind of showing him kind of going through the process of learning how to even just connect with women, much less date. And then how this ends up, the thing I love about the show is the fact that it kind of shows the ripple effect that decisions like this have on all of his family who've tried to protect him and kind of watch over him and help him through the whole process of living with autism.
Mate, this is rather like a deep, sensitive issue that affects a lot of families. Do they handle it well?
I think so. I mean, I was looking at the numbers. You know, yeah, you're right. It's about 1 out of 100 people have autism here in Australia, about 230,000 people. Mm-hmm. So the likelihood of people kind of coming in contact with this, and also, like, I have a family member who has Asperger's, and really watching this and how they handle that aspect of it, I think they're very respectful of the whole kind of the whole autism spectrum. And I think it's something that you can really learn from as far as learning how to kind of work with people who kind of go through this in their lives, especially families, and also the support that they need.
Mm, so do you think that's the intention of the show, to help family members and those of us who may have friends with autism just really understand their world a little bit better?
I think that's one side of it. I mean, I think it's supposed to be meant to be a comedy. It was interesting for me as a father. I kind of had a love-hate relationship with this show. I loved how they treated and really showed that side of it. I didn't necessarily enjoy how some of the family members responded to it, especially like the mother kind of going through a self-destructive part of her life, and then also his best friend in the whole scenario, especially being kind of hormonal teenagers. But all in all, I think they really are respectful, and I think it does kind of educate people on kind of how to work with those who they come across that do kind of live in the spectrum of autism.
Russ, what would you give this a score at?
Well, it felt kind of right in the middle for me, because as much as I really enjoyed certain aspects, there are certain parts of it, especially because it is definitely mature. This is for mature audiences and also kind of deals with some very mature content. Mm. I probably would put it right there, probably about 3 out of 5 stars.
Russ Matthews, thank you very much for your thoughts this morning.
Hey, have a great day and see you at the movies.
Book clubs have become all of the rage of late. Our producer Ali is in a book club. Mm. I'm attempting to be in a book club, but we just haven't worked out which day is actually going to work for everyone. But around Australia, the Australian Research Council and Macquarie Uni, they've shown that Aussies are now spending about 5 hours a week reading an average of 3 books a month.
So that's great.
We flick and switch between what books we're actually reading, but we're reading more than we were 5 years ago, and a lot more of these clubs are popping up.
I like the idea of reading, and I love to read, but I don't like the idea of being told what to read and how soon I need to read it by,
yes,
which makes me very antagonistic about a book club.
But you'd be one of the members, so you could choose which book you wanted to read.
Well, every 7 months, depending on how many members there. I want to choose my own book every single time. That's why I'm not in one.
Nicole, good morning. You like the idea of a book club?
I love the idea of a book club. I think it's a great idea.
All right, Nicole, have a crack at selling me on it, because I'm not sold.
Well, the thing you've got to realise, Duncan, is we tend to, as readers, get stuck into our own genres or authors that we love.
Yes, sci-fi, fantasy, it's amazing. You never have to leave.
But the thing with a book club is other people have other genres they like, and then when they suggest a book, you read a book that you may not otherwise ever pick up, and it's like amazing discovering new authors and new genres that you haven't encountered before.
Thank you, Nicole. See, Duncan, what expand like, your horizon.
But what if it's like really talky and there's no car chases in it, and it's not set in outer space?
Ah, you're losing the point of this, Duncan.
Not sold.
Hope Breakfast with Laura and Duncan.
On Hope 103.2.
Thoughtful.
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 Thoughts. Thanks. excuse me while I get my swimmers on, because we're about to cannonball in the deep end of knowledge and thoughtful thoughts.
Well, just please don't wear the ones that don't have the top half on, because they're a bit awkward.
Oh, no, yeah, I am wearing it. It is a European cut, I'm afraid, as I cannonball in. And this week, I'm going a little bit reflective and a little bit serious as we deep dive.
What are you wondering about?
Here is my thoughtful thought.
Okay.
The devil knows your name, but calls you by your sin.
Yeah.
God knows your sin, but calls you by your name.
I like what God does better.
Yeah, so do I.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm not going to be so deep.
All right, let's swim into the shallow end.
Yeah, like we're going up the shallow end.
What are you
Where there's little steps that help us pop out every now and again. So, you know, you probably have a dog, okay? Like, dog lovers.
I do have a dog.
All right.
And I do love him.
Excellent.
That's not the thoughtful thought, though.
No.
It's more profound.
Your dog has to hear you talking all day, but if your dog barks for more than a minute, we tell them to stop it.
Stop it. Quiet.
I don't know if that's really fair. Like, I make my dog be quiet because who likes barking? But wow, like they've got to listen to a lot of human chit-chat of a day, don't they?
I do wonder what dog lectures would sound like.
Maybe that's what they're doing when they bark. They're telling us to shush.
Maybe they're talking about complex world events and humans keep on saying, stop it.
That's your thoughtful thoughts.
Riding along in my automobile.
What did you see on your road trip? 1-300-40-2020. Larry the Lobster in South Australia has gone up for sale.
The Big Lobster is up for sale. No trip for me to Coffs Harbour is complete without a stop in at the Big Banana. There's so many big stuff around Australia. There's like 150 different big things you can go and visit.
1-300-40-2020. Morning, Dougie. What did you see on your road trip?
The dog sits on the tucker box.
On the road to Gundagai.
That's it.
Wow. Oh, how big do you reckon the dog is?
Well, the dog's not much bigger than a normal cattle dog.
Oh, so they haven't made him huge.
But he's sitting on this big tucker box.
Icon, and you do have to stop in on the road to Gundagai, which is...
And the last time I saw him was nearly 51 years ago on our wedding anniversary, after we got married.
Goodness, that's delightful. A long time ago. Did you get married in Gundagai, did you?
We got married in Sydney, and we travelled all out New South Wales.
Doug, I hope you've had a few more anniversary dates since that one 51 years ago.
Well, it's coming up on the 24th of this month.
Oh, delightful.
Still time to plan, Doug. You let us know how it goes.
Mate.
The week's best bits. Laura and Duncan's Hope Breakfast Podcast. Thanks for listening. Start your day with life words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.